Inside the Friendly Confines with Jesse Rogers, presented by Arlington Toyota. Looking for a smart play on your next vehicle? Arlington Toyota delivers with a full lineup of dependable cars, SUVs, and trucks ready for Chicago drivers. The same trusted team you've known for years is now backed by new ownership from the Andy Moore Auto Group, bringing even more value every day. Visit ToyotaArlington.com today.
Welcome to Inside the Friendly Confines with Jesse Rogers, a Cubs-centric podcast brought to you by Good Karma Brands, ESPN 1000, and our friends at Arlington Toyota. Good to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon as we tape the episode before Game 2 between the Cubs and Cardinals down in St. Louis. My wife actually went to the game last night, a little delayed because of weather, but a good outcome. She was very happy to see Cubs victory. I'm back in Chicago getting ready for the big weekend with the Yankees in town and then the Dodgers and the trade deadline. It's going to be really, really cool to be around all three of those teams, the Cubs, Yankees, and Dodgers, as their front offices do some wheeling and dealing. I, for one, think Tarek Skubal is getting traded, and those three teams I just mentioned should be involved, right? Or at least should be kicking the tires on it. So a lot of this is absolutely going to happen very late in the process, Saturday, Sunday, and definitely Monday when it comes to all trades. There might be a couple before the weekend, but we know how this works. You've done this before. It's late in the process when finally the GMs kind of drop whatever they're asking for, or the other team offers that, you know, good prospect that the selling team wants, and a deal gets done. But it happens late. It's going to be no different this time around. We'll get to the trade deadline in a moment. And on our next show on Thursday as well, we have a guest, multiple guests for that one. I'll tell you about that in a moment. All right, let's talk Cubs right now, playing really good baseball. Huge key to this thing is activating parts of their dormant offense, right? Nico Hoerner, he's been great since the All-Star break. Alex Bregman with a four-hit game on Monday. In fact, both those guys had four hits, first time since July 4th, 2025. So over a year ago, the two Cubs had four hits in a game. And they did that in against the St. Louis Cardinals as well. Nico, PCA, and Seiya really carrying this team in a lot of different ways. All three have a 900 OPS since the All-Star break. The strength of this team, we've said it many times, I've said it on this podcast and on the radio, is the length and the surplus. The guys off the bench, that's the strength of this team. You got to get guys on to get that starter pitching out and get to the reliever and get the platoon advantage with Conforto off the bench or Pedro Ramirez or when Shaw comes back. That's what they need to do now. And it's really their postseason formula as well. If you're not winning games with a few home runs in the postseason, that's the easiest way to do it, of course. The other news from the weekend, of course, veteran righty Jameson Taillon DFA'd. He had just 2 months left on his deal, just over 2 months left on his contract with the Cubs. So they cut ties there and move on. He certainly had a nice run in Chicago, especially in years two and three of the contract, the middle years there. And, of course, had a great couple starts in the postseason last year. But he just couldn't find it this year. The long ball was really hurting him. The way I look at it, he was kind of in a catch-22. He's absolutely the kind of pitcher that has to pitch ahead. It's just the way his game is built. But to get ahead, you probably have to get some fastballs over, right? You sneak some fastballs that are perfectly located to get ahead. He wasn't doing that. They were clobbering his fastball. So when that's not working, of course, you're going to try to get your off-speed over. Harder to do for strikes. And we saw his walk rate climb as well, up to 8%. That was a career high. So just no way of kind of figuring it out for him. Not much runway left, obviously, for Jameson Taillon. People complained about him even getting the two starts since being hurt, since coming back from being hurt. I disagreed. You got to give a veteran a chance. He's a guy that's lost it and found it before, but he just wasn't able to. Hitters were batting .329 off his fastball. That's over 100 points higher than last year. It just can't get by like that. Not with a guy that has to pitch ahead. You know, Kyle Hendricks, for example, back in the day was a guy that could pitch behind, get down 2-1 in the count, and get his way back in, not Taillon. And so he couldn't get ahead, and or if he did get ahead or try to get ahead, he was getting hit out of the park. In any case, Taillon moves on. You'll hear from Craig Counsell about him in just a bit. Gives Javier Saad a new chance here. He's going to start in place of Taillon for the short term, but you have to imagine the Cubs are going to bring in another starter before Monday's deadline, and that could push Assad or someone else back to the bullpen. But it sounds like between Colin Ray and Assad, they certainly like Colin Ray starting and Assad being that guy that goes kind of back and forth. And so we'll see what Monday brings. It could be a one and done for Assad in terms of getting a start and then going back to the bullpen. I know Cub fans are crossing their fingers. They kind of want that to happen because it means there's a good addition coming before the trade deadline. All right, so that's kind of my opening thought on the Cubs. We'll get to our first pitch in just a moment as we talk trade deadline. We'll get to your mailbag and go inside the clubhouse as well. Time for the first pitch. All right, time for my opening pitch. It's all about the trade deadline. Surprise, surprise. And coming up on our next episode, which will drop on Thursday, we're going to talk to a couple of colleagues of mine over at The Athletic, Sahada Sharma and Patrick Mooney, who cover the Cubs on a daily basis. They travel with the team. I don't travel as much. So I thought it was a perfect opportunity to get the three of us on a Zoom here on a podcast and discuss the Cubs trade deadline. So that's going to drop on Thursday. I've worked with alongside both those guys for a long time. So as we bring producer Jack McGrath in here, I want to start with this, Jack, and get your opinion, diehard Cub fan. And also, I want people to leave their comments if you're watching on YouTube. Has David Peterson convinced you enough that if you had to start an October playoff series with Matthew Boyd, Shota Imanaga, and David Peterson, you'd be okay with it? I guess I should also say, has Boyd and Imanaga shown you enough as well? Because they had some question marks last postseason, but I'm specifically kind of gearing it towards David Peterson. He had a really good start on Monday night. He said all but one good start with the Chicago Cubs since coming over from the Mets. Would you be comfortable with those three?
Jess, you're forcing me to pull up his game logs here and just see how deep he's really gone into these games. I mean, other than the one blow-up start, he's been fine. Like, if he's your four starter, I'd be okay, because you need four starters in a playoff series. I mean, the first three-game series, yes, but if you want to go deep into the playoffs, you need four guys. So I'd be a lot more comfortable with him as your four guy, because that means he doesn't pitch in the wild card series potentially. So I don't know, Jess. That one's tough for me. They need another pitcher either way. So I would say bump him down to the four and I'm a lot happier. Imanaga, I'm still not 100% comfortable with being your two. Boyd, I'm okay with. Like, Boyd's fine. Boyd's shown me enough. Imanaga at this point last year was good. And then at the end of the season was when the home run ball started to come, and then he wasn't good again. So do you trust that that's not going to happen? I don't. So I need at least one or two more guys that I can kind of fall back on in case the home run ball does come in again. So I'd say yes and no for those two guys. I'd like to bump them back a little bit.
All right, Kit, I think you have a future in this business, because that is probably almost exactly how I would have answered the question as well. I'm comfortable the way he's pitching in having him in a playoff game, but I'm not sure I want him in a deciding game three. And you're not wrong about, look, if you're going to try to get through four rounds of the playoffs, you can't do it with like two and a half pitchers. Three, maybe, starters I'm talking about. Four would be great. Four is a luxury not many teams have. And when we talk about three or four starters, we're talking about guys that will get you six innings minimum. Seven would be great. More than seven, very doubtful in this day and age, and the Cubs probably don't have those kinds of guys. I mean, Skubal could go a complete game shutout in the postseason. I don't think the Cubs have those guys, but I do think, if I just use my 18-ounce kind of litmus test, Matthew Boyd is one, Shota Imanaga is two, and David Peterson is starting to convince me he's three, maybe 15 outs instead of 18. But for that fourth pitcher, you can't expect the world. So I'm sort of with you. I think there's a place to insert that guy as a one, two, or three. Like, it'd be great if it was a one. That would be Skubal. Twos or threes are out there to be had, and that's what we could talk about next here. Wish I had a little bit more for you about the deadline. It's just at a snail's pace right now. There's several teams. They'll give you, for example, Jack, Toronto and the Angels, that have not really said, here we go, let's do this. They're open for business. They're just not doing business just yet. I think Toronto's kind of waiting for the last minute just because of, you know, the tickets they're selling up there, coming off of last year. They sort of have to catch their breath and say, all right, well, the World Series was a mirage. We have to sell now. And the Angels with Mozeliak now, John Mozeliak taking over. He's kind of taking his time as well. So the starting Saturday, I think it really we'll start to hear more and see more and feel more. But it's just not coming together just yet. I will tell you, the Cubs have checked in with not just 9 or 10 teams. They checked in with 29 teams. They've done their due diligence, trying to learn what other teams are doing and certainly what other teams would do with them. They've done all of that. And then the net is kind of wide. I think the White Sox net is wider, to be honest, because the White Sox can use anyone from a 1 to 5 in their rotation. In fact, they picked up Jose Urquidy, who could be a 5 if needed to be. The Cubs are not interested in 5s, I don't think. I mean, think about all the arms that are coming back, cross your fingers, if they're healthy again. Ben Brown and maybe Justin Steele and Edward Cabrera. And then the list goes on. And a bunch of these guys won't start games in the playoffs and maybe won't even down the stretch, but they'll be good bullpen arms. So I kind of did a 180 from a week ago at this time when I talked about the threshold needing to be pretty high to pass to bring in a starter. That still is the case. Like, you need to bring someone in better than what you have. And I think you can find someone better than David Peterson. I think we'd all agree with that. It will cost you, and we'll get to that in a second. But I do think that their bullpen, because they can stick some of these starters in the bullpen, is eventually going to look pretty good if we get enough of these guys back healthy, Daniel Palencia, Hobie Milner as well. But this is what I'm kind of learning about the Cubs. Look, controllable starters and rentals, right? You got to know this by now. Controllable starters, guys that are under team control for up to 6 years, they come at a hefty price tag. This was the case last July, and the Cubs didn't trade for a starter. Really, nobody did. The rentals, in this case, most of them come with a hefty price tag, not so much in terms of needing to send back major assets in terms of prospects. So it's like, send the prospects or spend more money or do both. You know, in some cases, like Tarek Skubal, these are the things floating around the Cubs right now. And this is the way I look at it. As I say, the wide net, starters that are rentals or controllable, the controllables cost more in terms of prospects. I think the Cubs are only willing to trade one of their top 5 prospects for a good controllable starter. You've heard some names, Reed Detmers, one of the Seattle pitchers. There's a bunch of them there. Any one of them could be traded, to be honest. I don't think the Cubs want Luis Castillo, but I could be wrong about that. But there's some other young pitchers in Seattle that are worth trading for. It's Jose Siriano and Detmers on the Angels. I think the Cubs would consider one of their top 5 prospects. Now, when it comes to a rental, I don't think that's the case. So I don't think Josiah Hartshorne, for example, is going anywhere, but certainly not for a rental. I don't think Rojas or Ayers or Kepler or Wiggins or Conrad. Those are the prospects I don't think would go for a rental. Let me say it again. Hartshorne, Rojas, Ayers, Kepler, Wiggins, Conrad. Okay? Then you get to prospects like 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I think it's possible they would go for a rental. I mean, all the pieces have to fit. The money has to be right. Because you have to remember, Kevin Gausman is owed about $12 million. Robbie Ray is owed about $12 million. And the one guy that everybody will want, if they think he can pitch, is Freddie Peralta. Because his contract for the season was $8 million. He's owed very little compared to those other guys. So who knows? If the Cubs take on all of the money, if they take a rental, maybe the prospect going back doesn't have to be as big. Maybe if the other team picks up the entire $12 million, they get a really good prospect. So all these are part of the negotiations. But where are you, Jack? You ready to part with a great prospect for a controllable pitcher back, or just a decent prospect for a rental?
You know, you prefer to do a decent prospect rather than a great prospect, but I think I'm willing to go for a rental if you trade a decent prospect, because this past week, my eyes have been opened a little bit as to what this offense could be, because this team has slumped so much this year. Yet you look at the run differential and you look at the way this team is scoring, they still scored the 3rd most runs in the National League with Bregman slumping, with Nico Horner slumping. If those guys start to hit again, and Suzuki's hitting and Hap's hitting and PCA's hitting like he is, This is an offense that can carry you to the World Series if you have enough on the pitching staff. And I'm okay trading away for a rental like a Peralta, like a Robbie Ray, because those are guys that immediately jump to the top of the Cubs rotation. If it means that it gives, if it means that they have a solid shot and you're not trading away from those top five prospects for one of those rentals. So yeah, I think I am willing to do it because I think this offense is good enough to win the World Series. And if the pitching staff can get a bit closer to being good enough to win a World Series, I think I'm willing to push the chips in the middle for it.
I think they'd prefer a controllable pitcher, someone they can keep past next year. They have a bunch of expiring contracts, but it all has to line up. And the one thing I talked to a GM over the weekend, he's like, remember, there's going to be twists and turns in this thing. Sometimes you can only strengthen a strength. You can't just strengthen a weakness because it's not there to be had. Just weird things happen because it takes two to tango. And so you might see a bullpen arm instead of a starter. I don't think you're going to see a position player in the Cubs case. Like, I don't think that would be quite the shock. I think other teams might surprise more in that category than the Cubs. So, like, you just never know how it's going to go. A GM reminded me of that over the weekend. You think you're going after a controllable, you end up with this rental that you never thought you'd get. And this is why you blanket the field, so to speak, and check in with every team. So you're ready to pounce on Monday. One thing doesn't work, you go to the next thing. The Cubs make a lot of money. The attendance has been great. I think they can carry 12 million if they want to. They may think differently, but we all think they can. And so a lot of names out there, a lot of possibilities. The one thing about like Reed Detmers or who else did you mention? One of the lefties you mentioned, rentals, Robbie Ray, is that, okay, we like David Peterson. Unless you're going up against the Phillies, I don't know if you can start four lefties in a playoff series. Let's say you get to the best of seven. Phillies, yes, I would. But there's some other teams that would really crush you. That's a tough – usually I don't care about the lefty-righty thing. But when it comes to lefties, if you've got a dominant righty lineup, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. So, and there's you know, most lineups are kind of dominant righty. The best lineups have the mix, like the Phillies do. But their best hitters are from the left side. So I'm not sure if I can trade for a lefty and then think I'm starting Peterson, Imanaga, Boyd in this lefty in a four-game or seven-game series. Then again, if it's the best pitcher available, lefty or righty, you go to battle with him. So that's one concern, but maybe smaller on the scale of, you know, taking on money and giving a good prospect back. I'm not sure they're going to worry too much about which side of the mound he throws from.
Jesse, you talk about controllable pitchers a lot, but it feels like the Cubs, if Steele is healthy next year and if Horton is healthy and if they have Edward Cabrera and if they have Ben Brown, it feels like they have enough pitchers to get through next year already without needing to feel like they need to trade for a controllable pitcher. So how does that factor in here? What's the outlook for those guys and their injuries heading in to next season? Because if they're hurt, there's a much bigger need for a starting controllable pitcher for next year.
Yeah, there's a lot of ifs there. I'm probably most confident in Ben Brown because he's got time to really figure out this injury with his neck. You know, he spoke after getting hurt that they now understand it a lot more. So I'm assuming if he doesn't get it figured out by mid-August, he certainly will by next February or March. So I think you can probably count on Ben Brown because it's not an arm injury or anything like that. Let's see what Steele looks like. Let's see when Cade Horton comes back. Steele, I believe, has one more year of our team control before becoming a free agent. Cade is still at the beginning of his career, but recovering. Edward Cabrera has to prove that he's healthy. So it's just a lot of question marks. And the one thing we don't talk about that I like to bring up on the radio at times is that if there's a lockout, there is no communication between the training staff, the pitching coaches, and the players. There will be none. So whatever Justin Steele does in August, September here, he's got to take into the offseason on his own. Now, they'll talk to him at the end of the year, give him a plan, but there cannot be any communication. Same thing with Ben Brown and his neck. He'll have to figure it out with his own people. So that's a monkey wrench to me, which is why you might want to trade for a healthy, legitimate starter that you have 4 or 5 years of team control, because every single guy you mentioned is hurt right now and won't be able to talk to the team starting December 1st. Now, that's a small thing, but not one that should be ignored completely. All right, so those are some of my thoughts on the trade deadline. I cannot tell you today who the Cubs are trading for and who they're giving up. Nobody can, because it hasn't crystallized yet. It just hasn't, and it probably won't by the next episode of Inside the Friendly Confines. I think this weekend it starts to crystallize a lot more. And don't forget, on Thursday, we'll talk to Sahada Sharma, Patrick Mooney, beat reporters for The Athletic who cover the Cubs. The three of us will discuss this deadline, and we will have it all figured out for you at that point. All right, time to go inside the clubhouse.
Inside the Friendly Confines with Jesse Rogers, presented by Arlington Toyota. Looking for a smart play on your next vehicle? Arlington Toyota delivers with a full lineup of dependable cars, SUVs, and trucks ready for Chicago drivers. The same trusted team you've known for years is now backed by new ownership from the Andy Moore Auto Group, bringing even more value every day. Visit ToyotaArlington.com today.
All right, let's go inside the clubhouse. Just one clip from Craig Counsell over the weekend talking about Jameson Tye, and it kind of plays into everything we've been talking about here regarding the trade deadline and Tyon's situation. Here's what Craig Counsell said after the team designated him for assignment.
Where we're at in the season factors into this. Absolutely. I think, you know, Javier Saad is going to factor in here somewhere. I think that factors into it. So the trade deadline factors into it. You know, those are the kind of reasons, you have to make a decision.
I know Cub fans like hearing him say something like the trade deadline impacts this, right? Means he's got additions on his mind like Cub fans do. So we'll see. And that's why I said before, maybe it's a one and done for Javier Saad in the rotation if they add a starter or two. Who's to say they stop at one? Tyon. The one thing I thought about Tyon is maybe they'd flip him with Assad, put him in the bullpen, see if he takes to it, use him in mop-up duty. Not an ideal situation, but they decided not to do that. And I think it's actually best for Tyon because from what I hear, he's going to go down to North Carolina for the next week, tread athletics down there, training performance center, and really try to dig into what's going on and see if he can unlock something in a short period of time and then get picked up for the stretch run, maybe by a contender, maybe not, maybe by sort of a rebuilding team that will give him more runway. I would say it's not a done deal that Tyon can't find it again. Like, I don't think we know that for sure. I just don't think the Cubs had the runway to give him in order to find it. So he'll have to do it on another team, but he is working hard. He's not just sitting on his couch and cash a paycheck. He's going to talk to some people, work with some people, and try to unlock something down in North Carolina. So good luck to him. Great, great person, great teammate from all accounts. And he really did pitch some big innings for the Cubs over his nearly 4 years as a Chicago Cub. All right, time for our mailbag segment. We try to do it almost every episode where you send in your questions. I will answer them as best I can. I don't know these questions ahead of time, so this is just off the top of my head. Producer Jack McGrath, where can people leave their questions?
Yeah, they can leave them in a couple of places. First off, in our YouTube comments, if you just leave it in the comments of our YouTube video, you can get it below there. Also, if you just tweet me at JackMcGrath1000, and I'll answer all those, or we'll answer all those on the podcast there. So those are the two places where you can leave them.
All right, yeah, I saw a bunch of comments from our last YouTube show, so I'm sure there's some questions in there. Fire away, Jack.
All right, first off, are you expecting any deals before Monday, or should we expect all deals to be finalized on deadline day? That one is from Joe.
I don't know if he meant just Cubs deals or not. I do expect a couple to trickle in here before the weekend. I'm not sure one of them is going to be the Cubs because they're not like looking for a catcher. I could see a catcher getting moved by Friday or Saturday, some team checking something like that off. It's sort of a position that's not normally a big trade thing, but this year actually it is. My point being, everyone's looking for pitching. And as I mentioned, like before, the Blue Jays, the Angels, these sellers are kind of lining up their strategy here and are going to execute everything in the final 48 to 72 hours. So unless it's a one-off for a catcher, a one-off for a specific kind of reliever or whatever, a one-off for a right-handed bat off the bench, I think most of the pitching stuff is going to happen in the final 48 to 72 hours, and that includes the Cubs.
All right. This next one is from Corey. He says, how do you think the potential for a lockout affects the dealing?
Yeah, a lot of people have been asking that. So far, GMs have said not a lot. I don't know if I completely believe them, because when it comes down to brass tacks and there's a player you want that has 1 year and 2 months left on his deal, and you're giving up a pretty good prospect because you're going to get two playoff runs potentially with whatever player you're acquiring, then all of a sudden you get 2 months from him, and then there's no baseball next year, maybe for 1 month, maybe for 2 months, maybe for 3 months, and all of a sudden that contract looks a lot smaller and you gave up a decent prospect. For people that don't know, if you have a contract for 2027 and there's no baseball in 2027, your year of that contract is eaten up. You become a free agent. It doesn't carry over to 2028. Now, my latest prediction is we're going to miss games, but we're not going to miss the whole season. Everyone's guessing, including me. I think nothing happens without deadlines, and nothing happens without desperation. And I think that comes right around April 1st more than March 1st, to be honest, but that is a guess. So I think it hasn't really come up with me with GMs that I've talked to, but I think it will. I think it's got to be in the back of their minds at least a little bit.
Jesse, Mike asks in our YouTube comments, he says he knows teams are more inclined to separate their tradable pieces in different deals, but is there an opportunity for a package? For example, he says Peralta, Holmes, and Weaver for the Mets in one big swoop with a trade of the right package of prospects.
I mean, I don't think so, because that's really unloading your farm system. You're talking about three pitchers. That's just pie in the sky thinking. Now, two, there's packages of two, and sometimes there's two separate deals between the same two teams. You get a deal Saturday, and then you get a deal Monday. So three for nine, you know, is what that would look like to me. Like, three prospects for every major leaguer you get back. I don't think the Cubs are in that. I don't think any team would do something like that. I think the Cubs are looking to add a pitcher or two, probably in best case scenario, move an infield prospect or two. And that's it. That's it. Don't move Ayers. Don't move Hartshorn. Don't move Pedro Ramirez or Matt Shaw. And I know there's kind of rumors about that. They do have a surplus at the major league level. I would not trade Ramirez or Shaw. To me, the strength of this team is that depth, is that surplus. The moment you trade your strength, it can become a weakness. Maybe not even this year, maybe next year. I would keep that together, and most contending teams shouldn't have to trade from their major league squad to get better. You do that by trading prospects and keeping your major league players.
Wasn't it it was 2014, I want to say, or maybe 13, when the Cubs traded both Jason Hamill and Jeff Samardzija back for Addison Russell? It was like a huge package with Addison Russell and Billy McKinney, like something like that, when you had to do a massive package, if I'm remembering that correctly, because that was a huge, huge deal for the Cubbies.
Yeah. So it does happen. It does happen. I mean, the person sent the question and said, you know, gave me three pitchers.
Two
can happen. Two in the same deal can happen. It's rare to see three, especially three pitchers. But yeah, that was a great deal. Samardzija and Hamill for Addison Russell, because the A's were going for it. They were both rentals, and they didn't win. Russell helped the Cubs win the World Series. Advantage Cubs. But if the A's had won the World Series, maybe be thinking of it differently. Everything's a risk. And I like people on the radio who are at least cautioned a little bit by, hey man, we don't want to trade the next PCA. And people wanting to trade Hartshorn, for example, just using the number one prospect, be careful. Having said that, many prospects are busts. That's why there's no exact science here. And you have to sort of measure everything. And part of the measuring is, do we have a buy? Do we have a stud pitcher or two at the top? Can we go toe-to-toe with the Dodgers? Oh, wait, I'm not sure if any of those apply to the Cubs. Okay, we got to win four rounds. We got to get through Milwaukee, Philly, Dodgers. Do we have enough? Do we want to mortgage our farm to get enough? Or is it just inching the ball a little bit forward? Like, these are the question marks. It's too bad they're not in first with a buy in sight, because that would be different. By the way, I do think, like Tommy Waddle said, there's still a chance they could track down the Brewers. This offense can't slump again, okay, which it did for 6 weeks. and they really just can't have any more injuries on their staff. Those are two big asks. I do think there's probably an August offensive slump. I've talked about this before. I think the offense is kind of geared to what we've seen this year. Periods of length and depth looking great, longer periods of it, and we've seen at the beginning of the year and now, but then there can be a moment in time or two where it's susceptible because they're not getting multiple guys on base. It's not easy to get multiple hits, multiple walks in an inning over and over and over again, and you eventually you hit a wall, and they did that in May, and I still think that is possible in August and maybe even October. As good as it looks now, we know it can look bad again. And that's where I always harp on, still wish they had a Judge, a Schwarber, an Ohtani. Seiya is acting his part, though. I'll give him credit. Seiya Suzuki is certainly acting his part. So anyway, a lot of things have to go right for the Cubs to win the World Series. Most of it related to winning four rounds. A little harder to do. We've seen teams do it. But, man, the NL is so top-heavy. If the Cubs were in the American League, I would say four rounds or at least three rounds, not so hard. In the National League, different story. What else, Jack?
Last one here. Ed asks, are the Cubs going to be buyers, sellers, or just browsers at the trade deadline? How would you categorize it?
No, definitely buyers. I mean, definitely buyers. Come on. They're solidly in the wild card position with the top seed there. That means you get that home series, and we saw what that home series did for them. In the wild card last year, and it's too bad they didn't have it in the next round, the home field, because Wrigley was just rocking throughout the playoffs. So they're definitely buyers. They're in a good spot. They still have a chance at tracking down the Brewers. Percentages say they won't, but even if not, load up as much as you can and just hope guys stay healthy. I'm crossing my fingers if you're listening on the ESPN Chicago app. Hope guys stay healthy and you have a bunch of arms that you can throw out there in October, even if you don't have seven inning starters, because Ben Brown for 12 outs, pretty good. Edward Cabrera for 9 outs, pretty good. Right. And then you get Palencia back, and Boyd isn't tiring like he did last year because he's missed a lot of this season. Like there's the glass being half full for sure for this team. And then the other side of it is what I said before, winning four rounds, not having maybe a complete stud at the top, and an offense that can be susceptible to slumps more than some of the other powerful offenses out there. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Inside the Friendly Confines. Hope you enjoyed it. We bounced around mostly related to the trade deadline, and we'll do it again Thursday. Make sure you tune in when it drops, because Sahada Sharma and Patrick Mooney from The Athletic will be here, two good friends of mine, colleagues of mine, and we will debate the trade deadline just days ahead of it, Monday, 5 o'clock in Chicago. Should be a real interesting weekend. Enjoy the Cubs and Cardinals. I'll talk to you later in the week, most likely on Thursday.